We begin again in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is from the Gospel lesson for today, Mark 12, verses 28 through 32. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, summarizes the life of the Christian in this world in this way: "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And our text for this morning confirms that statement, as has our life together in the past several weeks. The fact that we are living in times of recovery is self-evident to the thinking Christian. Whether it is recovery from Katrina or Rita, from tsunamis or war, from personal or public tragedy or sin, or whether it is simply recovery from life, daily life in this world, the Christian's entire life really is one of recovery. Our personal and corporate recovery, of course, is the result of Christ's work of salvation. It is the work and the fruit of the Spirit of our God, who has called us to faith and now points us to the Father as the Creator and Preserver, and the Son as our Savior and Brother. We know that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so when one of our members is in trouble, we pray for them and with them, and then we work to provide what is needed. Those who have lost their homes are invited into ours. Those who are in need of food find it abundant and readily available. Those who need cleanup discover that help arrives on their doorstep in the persons of people who care. It is therefore no surprise that Lutheran World Relief has experienced an outpouring of cash in response first to the tsunamis and now to the hurricanes. It is no surprise that members of this community of Concordia Seminary have traveled to places of devastation to help with the cleanup. It is no surprise to discover that people who have fled New Orleans because their homes were destroyed and their lives were in danger have found a place on this campus. It is no surprise that each of the districts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have adopted a congregation or congregations from the Gulf Coast whom they will assist as they seek to rebuild and then minister to individuals in the name of Jesus. But what is different about the Christians, what Christians have done in this crisis, compared to what the world has done? Unbelievers, too, have spent money, sent goods, spent time, worked hard, and housed strangers. What's different? My temptation is not to answer that question. Indeed, we probably could have forged ahead this morning without even asking the question, but we need to answer it. And two things come to mind. First is the fact that when God's people, when Christ's people respond to any crisis, they do so as His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Sin, we know, is in this world, and it is in control of this world. But we have been saved by grace, by Jesus' death and resurrection. We know that even as our triune God has intervened in this world of sin and has recovered us from the clutches of Satan, we are now called to carry on that work of intervention and of recovery in whatever ways possible. We've heard Jesus say in John 9, "This has happened that the work of God might be displayed in the lives of these people." And so our works of mercy and of recovery are done to give praise and glory to God as we perform works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Second is the answer of our text. We do these things in response to the most important commandment. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, "There is no commandment greater than these." And the scribe rightly responded, "To love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Our works of recovery are acts of worship. And that alone makes them different from the works the world does, both in terms of temporal and eternal effect. Temporally, they give glory to our triune God in whose name they are performed, and so serve to call others to faith as we work in Jesus' name. Eternally, they are part and parcel of our salvation, works prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, lest you misunderstand what's just been said, we need to be reminded of the fact that our text for this Wednesday of the 19th week of Pentecost, 18th Sunday after Trinity, 2005, is St. Mark's account of one of many exchanges that Jesus had on Tuesday of Holy Week in whichever year that was. Christ's statement of the great commandment is not about works righteousness. It is about response to our salvation. Both Matthew and Mark record the fact that Jesus has just addressed the question of paying taxes to Caesar and the question of marriage at the resurrection, questions which were designed to trap our Lord into saying something that might condemn him, but it didn't work. And now comes this question, a question which Jesus uses to silence all other questions. Which commandment is the most important of all? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," Jesus says as he quotes Deuteronomy 6 in the very heart of the call to worship for both ancient Israel and Judaism today. They knew immediately that they were in trouble. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and with all your strength." And remember, this is not so much command as it is invitation, as our Old Testament lesson pointed out. The invitation to, as we heard from Deuteronomy 6, "Keep these words on your heart, teach them to your children, talk of them all day long, and bind and write them on your lives." It is a call to take care lest you forget the Lord when you live in great and good cities that you have not built, live in houses full of good things that you did not fill, and you eat and are full of food that you did not plant. And then Jesus makes a move which isn't all that surprising, but which those of us who follow in his steps as proclaimers of God's word should only try with much fear and trembling. He continues his quotation of the scriptures by jumping from Deuteronomy chapter 6 to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. He can do that. It's his word after all. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Again, it is about remembrance. Remembrance of God's love and mercy. Remembrance that we are his workmanship. Remembrance that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This is about recovery. It's the acting out of salvation history in the lives of those who suffer from the results of sin. It is an opportunity for temporal celebration as we bear witness to our eternal salvation. St. Matthew says that Jesus said, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." 5 days later, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, explained to the new disciples what was in all the scriptures concerning himself. That's why we, as his workmanship, have become so involved, even at a distance, in the tribulations and trials of brothers and sisters affected by the evils of life in this world. It is a part of our salvation, not in the sense that we earn salvation in this way, but in the sense that we express and witness to our salvation in these ways. But it dare not end there. This call to love and remembrance needs to inform all of our life, and especially our life together in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Love for God and love for neighbor, agape love, by the way, needs to teach us to honor differences of opinion about some of the adiaphoras of our life. It needs to be a call not just to help those in need, but also to love those with whom we have honest differences of opinion over matters which do not affect pure doctrine or true witness to Christ's work of salvation. And that's the real challenge of this text. It is also the challenge of the work of recovery in which our church is so engaged. Keep it going. Recover love for the neighbor who is not in physical danger but in need of eternal salvation. Keep it going. Recover love for the neighbor who is not in physical danger but from whom we are in danger of being estranged because of unresolved differences. Keep it going. It's not easy because we are sinful, but it is also not hard because we are saints. By grace you have been saved. It is the gift of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. 2 days later, he instituted the meal we are about to receive in remembrance of him. The next day, he died. On the third day, he rose that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Our sins are forgiven. His Spirit has called us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand. That's real recovery, and it has been done for us. Amen. We rise.